my apologies. I'm not taking you to Mark tonight, as listed. We were in Lubbock from Wednesday through Saturday, and while I had a good bit of it ready for tonight, it's not quite there. So I'm putting that off till next week, and we'll pick it up then. But in preparing for the message this morning, and I deliberately was preparing that to go along with the baptisms, I revisited another sermon that I'm going to be giving you tonight out of 1 Peter. So if you want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 on the topic and the theme of hope and our inheritance and how Peter writes about that in the early part of this letter. Hopefully very encouraging words to you as we go through them. And I'll begin at verse 1. Our focus will be primarily verses 3 to 5. I'm going to read from verse 1 through verse 9 of this letter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, the God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by His blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him, and even though you do not see Him, now you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen. The focus of my attention tonight is really to try to direct your thoughts to the hope that Peter is talking about in here as a help and encouragement. Hope is very, very important for us in our lives, especially when we're facing trials of different kinds that he mentions in verse 6. You've had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, similar to James. You've had suffer trials of various kinds. I read this story, and I think it's genuine, but a fellow was on a cruise and desperately seasick, just painfully seasick. And the steward came over to him and said, patted him on the shoulder and said, you know, I know, sir, that this seems very awful, but just keep in mind that no one ever died of seasickness. And he turned his green face to the steward and said, oh, please don't tell me that. It's only the hope of death that keeps me alive. Well, that's in a joking way, but in reality, it's the hope of our death that makes, and the hope of what comes after death that makes persevering in this life us able to keep going on. And it's interesting, the goal of what Peter's going to be telling us tonight is he begins kind of in a sense with this conclusion. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The goal of his exhortation to you and to me tonight from this text is that we give a doxology, we give praise to God. The goal of our life is the praise of God. It's parallels in that wonderful long sentence of Paul in Ephesians 1. He begins it the very same way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And then that sentence continues. That's Ephesians 1:3. And so it's in appreciation for the things that we're going to go over tonight, that what Peter wants to accomplish in your life and in mine is that our lives be directed to doxology, to the praise and worship of God, that even as you go through trials and you go through them with hope, that the goal of that is it be to the praise of God in you. And so hopefully you and I can see that goal being established in us and accomplished in us even as we go through trials of various kinds. And the foundation of our hope is what he gives us in verse 3. And so let me just take you kind of step by step through the foundation of this. It's basically the birth to a living hope. But it's according in his great mercy is the way this version of the NIV has it. It's according to his abundant mercy. So the foundation of our hope is the mercy of God. That's kind of the bedrock of it. The basement, the foundation. It's built on the abundant mercy of Almighty God to us. So according to his abundant mercy, he has given us new birth. So the what he has given us as built on the foundation, as the way that the hope, he refers to it in this way, the new birth to a living hope. So there's a change of heart, a change of attitude, a change of mind, a change of thought. That's, it's not exactly the same phrasing of new birth that Jesus uses when he's talking to Nicodemus. I tell you the truth, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's not exactly the same term, but it's the same, it's the same idea that he's communicating. There's a radical change in our hearts that takes place when this hope gets rooted in us. And of course, it's the transformation of the Spirit within us. And he says, according to his abundant mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So build on his mercy. Through the new birth, through the means of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, he brings us to this living hope. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is crucial to our understanding of it, of this passage and our appreciation of our hope, because it's through that that we have this hope. The reason it's a living hope is because we have a living Savior. And whenever you think about your hope that you have in this life and in the life to come, whenever you think about that, you need to think of it tied to the living Lord Jesus Christ. And so whenever you in your heart begin to find your hope fade or you struggle to hold on to it, just ask yourself the question, is Jesus still alive? And if your answer, and it better always be yes, but if your answer is yes, then your hope is still alive. So your hope will be alive as long as Jesus is alive. And how long will Jesus be alive? Well, forever. So will your hope ever die? No, your hope will never die. Now, it may die, it may wilt in your appreciation of it as you're going through those trials of various kinds. Now, I'll grant you that. You and I struggle when we're going through difficulties to hold on to that hope. But you always come back to remind yourself, how long will that hope last? It'll last as long as Christ is alive. You're born again to two things. Verse 3, the point is, you're born again to a living hope. It's a hope that lives forever and ever. And it's based and built and focused on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And even Paul, in his great resurrection chapter in 1 Corinthians 15, talks about how if we only have hope in this life, we're miserable. He says, if in this life we only have hope in Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So the foundation of your hope is the mercy of God, that he creates a new birth in you through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he gives you this living hope. You're born again to this living hope that is there with you, even though you go through trials of various kinds. The second part of your expectation and your encouragement is, and to an inheritance. That's where verse 4 picks it up. So you're born again to a living hope and to an inheritance. And then he's going to describe that inheritance for you. And as we think about our hope and our inheritance, set the backdrop or a contrast to that, we're reminded in Scripture many places about the emptiness of human hope, of hope in this world. Just as sort of a contrast to a living hope is a dead hope, that is hope in this world, to an inheritance that's vital and wonderful in comparison to desiring an inheritance in this world. Jesus himself warned us of the futility of having our hopes in the things of this world. He said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. And you and I must not live with the fear that we're going to lose our inheritance or lose our hope or lose our future. It's there. It's secure in Christ, the resurrected Christ. And whatever hope people have in this world is a futile hope. And there have been people, you may have known of some, there are people that I know of, that they were part of the family that was fairly wealthy and had the potential of having a pretty good inheritance. Now, if they had placed their hope in that inheritance, they would have been grievously disappointed because between the greed of relatives and, of course, the confiscatory taxes of the state, they ended up with almost nothing. And so if they had placed their confidence in that, they would have been grievously disappointed. And you don't have that. Your hope isn't in this world. And back when I preached this years ago, I quoted from a song. Some of you hopefully won't start singing it. There's a song by Peggy Lee called Is That All There Is? Some of you may remember that. And she's reflecting on life, and she goes through some of the experiences of life, a house fire, her dad taking her to a circus the first time she fell in love. And every time she sings about one of those things, she ends with the refrain, Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball. If that's all there is. What's interesting, in the middle of the song, she says this statement, I know what you must be saying to yourselves. If that's the way she feels about it, why doesn't she just end it all? No, not me. I'm not ready for that final disappointment. Because I know, just as well as I'm standing here talking to you, that when that final moment comes and I'm breathing my last breath, I'll be saying, is that all there is? Now, the interesting thing is, that's exactly what the world is going to sing. Because they're looking at this world as their hope. And things in this world break down, they get stolen, they fail. And even the good things of this life, you may be in good health right now. Your home may be in good shape. Your hot water heater may be working. Ours is not. So if my hope was through my water heater, I'd be in real deep trouble. And it's very painful for me. I am not a cold shower person. You can tell your mother, Jesse, that I'm not a cold shower person. So she would know I would not be qualified to be a missionary. I'm not there. But Peter reminds us that's not where our inheritance is. So we're not with Peggy Lee. We're not going to say, is that all there is? Because there is a lot more. And the way he describes our inheritance, you're very familiar with it, is wonderfully described into an inheritance that can never perish, that can never spoil or fade. So it can't deteriorate. It can't be defiled in any way. It can't fade away. The things we have in this world they wear out. They fade. They lose their luster. All of those kinds of things. But your inheritance, none of those things can happen. And it says here that it's kept in heaven for you. So that inheritance that Peter is directing your minds to give you encouragement to keep persevering as a Christian in this world is an inheritance that's reserved for you. Won't fade away, won't be defiled, it can't be corrupted, it's reserved in heaven for you. Nothing will get in the way of you seeing that. Not yourself, not Satan himself, no one can get in the way of your inheritance being there for you at the end. But the one thing that you may still wonder about is, well, will I make it to the end? I don't have any doubt about God, but I do have lots of doubts about me. And we do think that way sometimes. You know, we won't, as you persevere through life, you'll realize, well, I don't have any questions about God. I know God's going to be there. But what about me? Am I going to be there? And this is not an excuse for us not to be persevering, but the great encouragement of Peter is this, toward the end of verse 4, he says, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded or guarded or kept by God's power until the coming of that salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So not only is your inheritance kept, but by God's grace, you're kept too. So your confidence and hope in getting to the end is not in you. That itself is in the Lord. Now that's not an excuse for you and I not praying and reading the scripture and persevering. And so we don't want to misuse the passage, but the thing that Peter's trying to do here is to give us this this great encouragement. This word for guard and shield and to be kept is the same word that Paul uses in Philippians 4 when he's encouraging us not to worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And he goes on to say, and the peace of God, same word, will guard you until the day of Jesus Christ. It will guard you. The peace of God will guard you. God himself will guard you. It's the power of God that will defend you. No matter how weak you may be, God's strength will always be there. Through faith, the instrument, until that salvation is ready to be revealed at the last time. That last day, that final day when your salvation went in its fullness and completeness. Right now you're saved and you experience salvation now, but it's still in process. It's not final and finally fulfilled. But on the day you go to be with the Lord, it's going to be unveiled fully and completely. And you will be kept and guarded until that day when your salvation is ready to be revealed. So that's why Peter wants you to know this, because in this, in your hope and in your inheritance, in these two things, you can greatly rejoice, even though you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And the reality is you have and you will suffer grief in all kinds of trials, big and little. Of course, to us, they're all big. Other people may think, well, that's not a big deal, but it's a big deal to us. And you're going to experience these things. What is it that helps you keep persevering with hope? It's these promises that you've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and to that inheritance that is kept for you and that you're kept for that. So may as you leave here tonight and enter into this week, no matter what struggles you face, may you be encouraged and remember the hope that you have laid up for you and reserved for you that's there always. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the encouragement of Peter to us as we face trials of various kinds and know that we will. May we, O Lord, grasp a hold of by faith these wonderful promises that we do have a living hope because we have a living Savior. We have an inheritance that He's purchased by His blood that's reserved for us and will never be lost or fade away or taken. And thank you, O Lord, for your promise that you will guard and keep us till that day when our salvation is finally, fully, and completely revealed when Christ comes again. May you encourage us, even as we go through small aggravations and big aggravations in this coming week, to keep our mind and heart focused on you. We just pray that you would be glorified, that our lives would be to your glory and your honor. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.